Back in the big chair with you on Monday, August 9th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. In the 3:30 segment, a return visit from Pete Hutchison, the head of the Landmark Legal Foundation, talking about the mess going on at the southern U.S. border. 4:30 segment, Republican State Senate Leader Kevin Kelly of Stratford talking about the ongoing controversy as to how effective the state's juvenile justice system is or is not. And I had some previous thoughts on the show regarding juvenile justice and talking about a news conference held the previous week by majority Democrats. Now, you remember a couple of weeks back, we dove headlong into what was becoming a big talkable around the state. And we had incidences of some high-profile carjackings, car thefts that were pulled off by youth offenders, youths, you know, juveniles. We know these are teens, boys and girls, young men, young women, under 18. And that means that generally, with almost no exceptions, specifics about youth offenders or juvenile offenders, they're not available to a lot of folks. They're barely available to judges and police. And the thinking with this has always been, well, you know, let's not publicize something someone does when they are young or younger, that may be something stupid, that is something that could sully their lives for as long as they live, make it tough for them to get a job, take out a loan, get admitted to the school they want to go to, you know, stuff like that, which to a point that is, I agree with that. You know, you do dumb stuff generally when you're young. I did it. You did it. You did it. I did it. We all did stuff that when we get, you know, 10, 20, 30 years out, you know, you're sitting down one day to dinner and you read a story about something the same that you did, or you see a news story and you say, oh, my God, how dumb was I? What was I thinking of when I did that? And especially if you had to call a cop or whatever. So there's a reason why we have laws and procedures set up to disclose or not to disclose, if you will, the names of somebody, boys, girls, youngins, under a certain age, that are doing bad things, dumb, stupid things, idiotic things, all the way up to major crimes. And we had complaints coming from, yes, some Republican legislators, and a lot of stuff coming from the suburbs, and a lot of stuff coming from police chiefs, in particular the chief of police in New Britain, where several weeks back you had a kid who had been arrested. He was 17 years old. He had been arrested a dozen or 13 times in a three-year span. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, he stole an SUV in broad daylight while it was at a gas station, I think, or a convenience store. And he ends up, sadly, killing a guy who was an avid runner, and he was out for his afternoon run. And that, you know, caught a lot of people's attention, as it should have. And that was followed by, I think, a few weeks later, there were gunshots fired by some youths in, I think, Glastonbury. Then there was that stolen vehicle where there were four juveniles, a vehicle stolen in Stratford that ends up in New Britain. And it turns out that the kid, the 15 or 16-year-old guy there that was driving the car at the time it was crashed and was arrested, determined to be the driver, he, you know, this kid had five priors. So ensued then a discussion between Democrats in Hartford and Republicans saying, okay, why are so many of these kids, why are we hearing from these repeat offenders? How is it that some juveniles, some, not all, but how is it that some juveniles with 4, 5, 6, 7 arrests are on the street? Now, it wasn't just the Republicans in the General Assembly that were talking about this. You had testimony very loudly from several chiefs of police around the state. The New Britain police chief was very angry after what happened in his city. The Waterbury police chief went on the record, and they both said, to an effect, that the juvenile justice system had serious problems. Now, when that happened, you immediately had a couple of high-ranking Democrats, Martin Looney of New Haven and Bob Duff of Norwalk, who used to come on the show, except that when he got tough questions, he used to come on Melissa's show in the morning. And then Melissa had tough questions. And guess what? Bob Duff from Norwalk, see you later. Can't get him back on again. They came out and said, well, this is overblown. It's only because the suburbs are worried now. Well, yeah, the suburbs should be worried. None of the suburbs in Connecticut want to see in their neighborhoods what happens in the cities. Does anybody in Fairfield or Wilton or Greenwich, do they want to see what happens in Bridgeport? No. Does anybody in Madison or Guilford or Woodbridge or Orange, do they want crime like they have in New Haven? No. Does anybody in Farmington, Simsbury, West Hartford, Avon, do they want to see the stuff that goes on in Hartford? No. There's nothing wrong with that. Although there's some people at the Capitol who will play racial politics with this. So this sets up what happened on Friday. Now, Friday, the race card was played even further in Hartford. There was a gathering of legislative leaders and youth advocates. They say they want to change the car theft narrative. All of a sudden, the youth advocates are worried about car thefts. They broke out a bunch of charts Friday at the state capitol, showing that, for example, youth car thefts decreased 19% this year with compared to last year. They went from 421, it says here in the News Junkie, to 341. Okay, that's good. Okay. What does that have to do with teens who have multiple offenses getting let out of jail or not ever seeing, maybe not a jail, but the inside of a facility that could help them? See, this is typical of what goes on in this state. It is so typical of what goes on in this state. And this whole notion that, well, no, we have to change the narrative. No. There's nothing that has to be changed. People simply want answers. There's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody thinks that some kid who does something stupid once or twice needs to go to jail. Nobody's saying that I've interviewed. Nobody is saying that. But again, when people start getting shot at in the suburbs, when you see a juvenile who has had a dozen arrests in 3 years out on the street, what is wrong with people saying, hey, is the system screwing up here? What's wrong with that? But all of a sudden, but again, invariably, the race card is played. Now, thankfully, Governor Lamont said on Friday he's going to take some action here. And what did we hear from both Republicans and Democrats? I've had on the show talk about this. They say, at least in a couple of these cases, especially with the case of the kid, the teen in New Britain there who ended up killing that jogger, well, something broke down. Now, the governor said, quote, on Friday, he said, quote, we're paying attention. One of the changes I've ordered and is going into effect next week, meaning this week, the governor said, this week, is to make sure judges know the difference between the first-time offender who's just doing something stupid and can make the appropriate response to that and the chronic repeat offender. Good for you, Governor Lamont. Again, when the Democrat majority in Hartford starts to act like children, it's good that the hall monitor steps in. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. It's not about a narrative. Attention, people. It is not about a narrative. It's about people. Taxpayers in the state saying, well, look at this, Maud. This kid in New Britain was arrested 13 times over 3 years. Why is he on the street? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking that. It's not a narrative. Not every kid is going to get thrown in chains. But people do have a right, and unfortunately they get antsy and angry when well-publicized stuff happens. People have a right to say, why is this person, why are those people on the street? More and more illegals, more and more migrants coming across, many with COVID-19, many who don't want a shot, and even some who've been bounced out of the country before for some very bad crimes, and they're getting back in. We'll talk about a recent case here with a gentleman we've had on the show a few times. He is a president of the Landmark Legal Foundation. Pete Hutchison is back with us on WICC. Hey, Pete, Paul here in Connecticut. How are you, sir?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I appreciate the time, Pete. You know, I had a caller, Pete, earlier in the show, and we were, of course, knee-deep in the COVID thing again, and our governor here, Ned Lamont, is saying, okay, you know, the cities and towns can basically do what they want. I'm not going to come down heavy-handed on this. And I had a caller call in and say, hey, by the way, the COVID thing, fine. Is anybody paying attention to what's going on at the border? And apparently, Pete, only a few select few in the country are, because I know you're raising the flag here and sounding the alarms on the constant flow of migrants, and a case or cases, Pete, that in the mind of you and the Landmark Legal folks show how dangerous things are there.
Right. You know, just last week at the border, and this is the Biden administration's Border Patrol media department, put out press releases announcing this. You had two convicted sex offenders caught in one district along the Texas border. You had another child sex offender caught, and an MS-13 member caught in the El Paso, Eagle Pass is the sector that they caught him. They found two stash houses with 11 illegal migrants hiding out in the house and being taken care of by two Americans with long criminal history, criminal records. So, you know, that's just last week. And that's just what they told us about. The open border policy of the Biden administration is unbelievably unsafe from a matter of criminal element. And as you explained, the number of people who are sick with COVID-19 and they're either getting tested and released anyway, or they're not being tested and released, or if they're kids, thankfully they're taking care of them. Mm-hmm. But it's just part of a disastrous policy that is, I think, it's a perfect storm of Biden's pandering to the progressives, Congress's utter failure to do its job over many, many years, and Barack Obama's pen and phone tyranny, establishing programs like DACA, which just invites people to come to the United States, and of course the criminal element of the gangs, drug lords, happy to exploit all of this and laughing their way to the bank, and it's a disaster.
Pete Hutchison. Pete, stand by. We'll be right back to you.
Okay.
Want to talk more about this. Pete Hutchison, Landmark Legal Foundation. Is anybody paying attention to what's going on at the southern border? Traffic and weather together. More with Pete Hutchison after this on WICC. And a return visit, we're enjoying that, from the head of the Landmark Legal Foundation. Check him out online, landmarklegal.org. Pete Hutchison talking about what's going on at the southern border. Still, every day, every week, every month, and nobody seems to be saying anything about it except, a select few in the media. You know, Pete, a dear friend of mine in this business years ago, she got her first television job at a station in El Paso, Texas, Pete, right on the border. And she emailed me one night because I had emailed her and said, how you doing? And she got back to me. She goes, oh, I'm good. She goes, and oh, my God, I get it now. And I messaged her back. I said, you get what? She goes, I finally see. Now, this was a Northeast bred Brooklyn, New York girl, kind of, moderate in her politics. But she says to me, Pete, she goes, oh, my God, I get it now about the border. She goes, I never understood it until I saw it. And she said, and now I know why everybody here, even the grandmothers, they all carry guns. She goes, now I finally see it with my own eyes. It was amazing.
That's terrible. That's terrible. It's you've got these drug cartel people who are basically acting like tour directors. They're selling a bill of goods to people who are in many cases desperate in Central America and in Mexico, desperate for a better life. They're sold this pipe dream that, we'll get you to the United States. You'll get to get a big house and a nice car. It's going to be awesome. And then your kids will get to be U.S. citizens. And all that is just setting these people up to be exploited. And Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have, in about a year, thousands of immigrants showing up dead around the country. And I believe this because many of these people, actually most of these people, are being charged a big amount of money to be brought over here.
Yeah.
They don't have it, but they're told, we'll take care of you. And what they have to do is they've got to be drug mules, they've got to be sex slaves, and they don't know it. And when those people refuse to do that, they're going to show up dead. This is a terrible humanitarian crisis on so many levels.
Yeah, and
but it's all about exploitation.
Yeah, and Pete, now there is, and thankfully Mr. Biden has said no now, but now they're pushing him, the far lefties in the Democratic Party, Pete, they're pushing him to get rid of this Rule 42 or whatever this is that essentially was put in by the Trump folks, that on a medical basis, because of COVID-19, if I understand this correctly, it lets the Border Patrol say, no, get out. It kicks people out right away. And the far left now is pushing Mr. Biden to get rid of this.
Yes, and Biden says, no, we're not going to do that. The rule still is in place, but they don't enforce it. They are handcuffing, and this is another big problem, is they're handcuffing law enforcement down on the border. Not only the Border Patrol officers, but they're utterly not assisting state and local law enforcement in doing their jobs, which is in part to return ill people to Mexico. But they're not going to enforce that. But they're not going to get rid of it either. The left's going to scream and yell, and they will get their way because the Biden administration is not going to enforce that rule. And it just is so galling when they say, oh, yeah, that rule is in place, we're going to enforce it. And they're never intending to do that. They are lying to us.
Is Kamala Harris going to fix the border, Pete Hutchison, because she's the border czar? What is she going to do?
Well, I don't know. She's missing in action. I haven't heard anything out of her. And, ironically, in your neighborhood there, she hasn't said a word about your governor across the border there in New York. Here she is, the most powerful woman in the Democratic Party. She hasn't said a word. Come on. Hey. It just shows that politics is so corrupt at the national level.
So, Pete Hutchison, does the National Republican Party, or will they be too spineless here, but will they, with the upcoming midterms a year from this November, closer than people think, will they use, you think, immigration as a campaign issue? Because, Pete, I'm reading in places like Politico and The Hill, there are Democratic policymakers and tacticians saying, hey, we could get killed on this. You see, this is a big issue.
Oh, absolutely. The Republicans are, they're being led in large part by you know, Ted Cruz and DeSantos, who are in border states, and they are hammering away. And I think as the you know, the year goes, I'm told there's another caravan on its way right now coming through Mexico. This is not going to go away, and the Republicans will be fools not to take advantage of it. They're not fools. They will take advantage of it. The problem is when they get into power, they always screw it up, and they don't take advantage of their leadership opportunity.
And, Pete, let's call this for what it is, and you said this earlier in our conversation, Pete. You know, it's not just one side here. There are, Pete, you and I all know, there are a lot of conservative businessmen who generally would vote and donate Republican who, Pete, you know, wink and a nod. They like that cheap labor, too. Absolutely.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. But, you know, it gets back to, we have got to have a cohesive national policy. And Congress has completely forgotten how to do its job, or they just have ignored it. They pass everything off to administrative agencies. Mm-hmm. And until they get some backbone in Congress, either party, they're both just comically inept. This issue will not go away. And I just pray that, you know, this is a massive exploitation of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's lost in this argument, too. The progressive just want to get them in here, get them to vote and get more power. It's got to stop. And we've got to push back. You know, we need somebody like your caller, Linda, to get in there and kick some backside.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete Hutchison, landmark. You see, Pete, you see what kind of callers I get to this show? That's wonderful. Online, landmarklegal.org. Pete Hutchison. Pete, always good to talk to you. We'll talk down the road, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it, Pete. Thank you. Always a pleasure there. See that? Pete listens to the show here before he calls in. On WICC. So is anything really going to happen here constructively to try and, I don't know, make sure that multi-time offenders, even if they're juveniles, are dealt with in a different way if they don't seem to be responding appropriately to law enforcement when they do things that they shouldn't be doing at that age? State Senator, Republican Leader Kevin Kelly joining us to see what he, to tell us what he has heard on this whole thing. Hey, Kevin, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad, Kevin. Came off a pretty good weekend. Is okay. So, Kevin, a rally is held on Friday at the Capitol, looking to, I guess, the point of the rally was change the narrative on some of this crime now regarding car thefts, carjackings, and all this. There was a lot of numbers used saying that overall car thefts or car crime by juveniles is down. Okay, that's fine. We like to see that. But, Kevin, people want to know the operative question here, as Kevin has been voiced by police chiefs like in New Britain and Waterbury, you know, is the juvenile justice system doing its job? And so now I see, Kevin, that the governor is going to go ahead and, I guess, order, Kevin, I don't know, that police and judges, no matter where and when, have better access to these records. What are you hearing in your leadership position here? What's actually going on?
Okay, Paul, there was a lot there to unpack. Let's start with last Friday.
Sure.
What we heard was a lot of the Democrats actually admitting just how out of tune and out of touch they are with what's happening in our streets. They can throw all these numbers around, but the fact of the matter is, and these are statistics, I mean, this is statistics don't lie, you know, crime, violent crime, murders are up 68% in the city of New Haven over last year. And Hartford is on track to be the deadliest summer since 1985. And all we hear from the majority Democrats is that this is because of COVID. It's a national trend. But the fact of the matter is our Connecticut streets are becoming more violent. And crime is on the rise, period. End of story. And when you hear the majority say that, you know, these car thefts wouldn't happen, if those darn victims would just lock their cars,
yeah,
you know, then the criminals wouldn't have an opportunity to take their car. It takes the focus and puts it on the wrong place. It's not the victim's problem for being in the way. It's the permissive Democrats have allowed these individuals, whether it's because the judicial system has not been sharing the information appropriately between the police departments and the prosecutors and the judges, or not. But the fact of the matter is, we have a situation in the state of Connecticut that needs to be addressed, and the majority, with all the power that the people have given them, are not sitting down and dealing with it.
All right, Kevin, hang on. I want to get into some of the specifics here. Kevin Kelly on from Stratford, Republican Senate leader, talking about what could happen, what's not going to happen, who knows what will happen, concerned with juvenile justice here. What about what the governor said? He wants better sharing of information. All that and more coming up first. Traffic and weather together. 436 on WICC. State Senator Kevin Kelly, Republican Stratford, on to talk about what is going on or not going on juvenile justice-wise. So, Kevin, the governor steps in. Now, I don't know what's happening. He said it was going to start this week. I don't know whether you've heard anything or not, but he has vowed now to make the information more accessible to police officers and judges, no matter what time of the day it is. Kevin, I would only hope so because, you know, I know one side in Hartford says, well, it's being misconstrued. Well, is the police chief, Kevin, in New Britain lying when he said what he said? The police chief in Waterbury said the same thing a couple of weeks ago. All these chiefs, Kevin, many of them that step up here are all saying some version of the same thing, that there are too many holes in the juvenile justice system now that are letting these multi-time offenders back on the streets. Nobody wants to put a kid in jail, Kevin, on a first or second offense, but when you see a pattern here, something has to be done.
Well, exactly, Paul, and I think the issue, to a large extent, is that there's all these criminal justice reforms that the Democrats have permitted to move forward over the past several years are now reaching a tipping point, and, you know, one after another, and here we are today, whether it's, you know, police not believing that the system's going to put the individual where they belong. And, you know, I think a large amount of this issue is that they just aren't out there doing anything to apprehend and get individuals, because at the end of the day, they're just going to be, they bring them in, they're going to go turned right out. And you see things like, you know, second chances and very violent crimes occur, and the slate's going to be wiped clean. So, you know, the police chiefs are telling us what the reality is. I think our neighbors, when they go out, are telling us what the reality is. You have the jogger who went out for a morning run, never to return home. I think that's a fact. There was a woman in Glastonbury who went out and got shot at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the raw numbers of violent deaths are occurring. I mean, every day you see another one. You pick up the newspaper and somebody got shot and killed, whether it's an actual perpetrator in a gunfight, we saw that on Saturday night in New Haven, or just somebody cooking dinner or a kid in a car seat and they're getting shot at. I mean, this is real. And for the Democrats to kind of say, well, it's a national trend. Oh, it's COVID. Oh, you know, the statistics are showing. Well, the statistics can be manipulated, but the number of deaths, when you see it, is real, Paul. And that's what we are trying to do is get reality under that Capitol dome, because, you know, the majority just doesn't want to hear it. They want to go on their permissive way and allow all this stuff to happen. But you know what? At the end of the day, all people want to do is, when they go home, to feel safe.
And Kevin,
Democrat rule, it's not happening.
Yeah, and it's sad, Kevin, that a couple of Democratic leaders, you know, Mr. Looney and Mr. Duff, have said things recently that, oh, well, it's the Republicans. It's, you know, they alluded to race and instilling fear. I mean, come on, Kevin, really? I mean, look, you can debate a subject, but immediately, Kevin, I've been doing this long enough. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck the other day. When you go to that level immediately on Twitter and social media, I'm saying to myself, come on, that's all you got? Really? Really?
Well, exactly. And Paul, that's the problem with the current conversation. is that, you know, the Democrats are saying, well, the Republicans are just being negative and creating fear. I'll tell you what's creating fear. It's criminals on our streets not being put where they deserve to belong. And that's the problem. And I know in my experience, I had one guy who was actually, I went out, walked out to take my son to hockey one night, and there was a guy at my car at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I confronted him, and he took off. There was another day last summer where I was just cooking on the grill. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and a neighbor called me and said, hey, there's guys on the street. I think they tried to get into your car. Jeez. I went out. They did get into the car, but then they took off because he came around. They came back. And I was actually talking to the police at the time that the individuals came back to the neighborhood. And
see, and Kevin, that shows there's no fear. Sorry for interrupting, but that means there's no fear of what may happen to them.
Correct. Correct, Paul. And this is exactly what's happening. It happened to me. It's happening in all our communities. And it's what the Democrats are ignoring. And they look at people like me. They look at victims. And they say, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And if you would just cease and desist, the problem would go away. Well, Paul, that's not reality, and that will never happen. And the problem is the Democrats, people have entrusted them with government and thereby with their safety, and they just aren't getting the job done.
And, Kevin, one final question on another topic, if you'll allow me. I'm seeing rumblings again, Kevin, that the TCI, the Transportation Climate Initiative, which we all know and has been admitted to be a tax on gasoline, TCI apparently, in the eyes of some legislators, Kevin, is not dead yet. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Paul, I mean, with this Democrat majority, these progressives in Connecticut, taxes on the middle class will never be off the table. And Republicans in Connecticut recognize that, and I will continue to stick up and fight for the middle class. This gas tax is real. Yes, the Democrats are out there, both in the House and the Senate. They're talking about it. They're actually counting noses to see whether or not they can revisit this in September. And the fact of the matter, Paul, is Connecticut's unaffordable. Gas is expensive. It's over $3 a gallon now, and they want to make it even more expensive. It's a gas tax, $100 million gas tax.
Yeah.
And it's like the truck tax they just did. That's another $100 million tax. We're in a surplus. We have a balanced budget.
Exactly.
And we have hundreds of millions of federal dollars that are still sitting on the sidelines waiting to be spent. And the Democrats in Connecticut still tax the middle class $100 million. You know why Connecticut's too expensive? It's because the Democrats are taking money off the kitchen table economics, and they're not giving the Connecticut residents the jobs in order to make more money. We're dead last in job growth, dead last in income growth.
Kevin, I saw an editorial, I forgot where it was, last week that said, hey, Pete, come on, this TCI, this editorial writer said, it's only $50-$60 a year for the average family. You should be willing to pay that with no questions. And I'm just like, oh, my God. They just don't get it, Kevin. They don't get it.
Well, I know the editorial you're talking about. And said, it's just a nickel a gallon. Well, the fact is, Paul, it's $100 million, number one. It was even internally inconsistent because it said that's where they needed to start. The federal government wants to add another 18 cents, and what they really need is more like 40 or 50 cents a gallon. And that's the problem, is this just doesn't work in order to achieve the environmental goals. I think we all recognize that Connecticut sits at the tailpipe of auto emissions for the country. But unless we get our neighbors to the west, and unless we actually look at some real progress here, Connecticut can't go it alone and solve America's air pollution issues. We need to get our Washington Democrats on board with dealing with their colleagues to help solve some of Connecticut's environmental issues.
Kevin, thank you as always. Kevin Kelly, State Senate Republican leader, Stratford. Kevin, be good. We'll talk down the road, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. Take care, Paul.
Appreciate it.